Going on, y'all. This your man Chris, one half of the Brothers Layman. Thanks for tuning into the Black Is Network. Before we get into this new episode of the Black Is Break, just wanted to give some love, give some shout outs to a couple people who gave us some feedback and a couple other folk. First off, we got a couple Stitcher reviews. One from Jizzle, 5-star. I love this podcast. Mature talk for mature people. No ratchetness allowed. That's right. You know, we like to get silly up in here. You know, we can get a little bit. You know, we don't really do that. It's a lot of folk who do that. We grown folk. We just like speaking how we do. This is how we do over here at Black Is. We just let people be who they are. That's what we want you to be. Be yourself. Come from the heart. Come from the soul. Let it all out. So we thank you for that, Jizzle. Got a 5-star as well from KLW71. Love this show. Love the rawness / realness of this podcast. I am a listener for life. Thank you very much for that, KLW71. What can I say? You know, that's like I said, that's how we do. We just speak your mind. What you feeling when we come to the round table for the Black Is Break? You know, we throw the topic out there and we just be like, hey, what y'all feel? Speak on it. And, you know, it's all love up in here. You know, no judgments. You know, we question what you're saying. We're going to ask you and once the topic's over and, you know, everybody cool, it's all fam, then we jump into the next topic and you might end up agreeing with that person on the next one. That's just how we do around here. So, you know, thank y'all, literally, you know, for real. Thank y'all for tuning in to what we do here, for tuning in to Black Is, to the Black Is Break, you know. Stuff like that, getting them responses means a lot to us. Let's know that you are really listening. You know, we want to know what you guys think of the show. We like for y'all to give us topics. If, you know, if it's something you think you want to hear us talk about, something you think that needs to be talked about, you know, hit us up. You know, you can do that on Stitcher. You can do that on iTunes. Go to this website, blackisonline.com. Email kc@blackisonline. On Twitter, @blackisonline. Facebook, Black Is Magazine. Just hit us up. You know, let us know that you're listening. We'd like to know folks is out there. You know, some of y'all, I don't know how many people listen to this, but, you know, we love to hear what you guys think. So, thank you for tuning in. Remember to check out all the other shows we have on the Black Is Network. Brother Lemon's Boys Happy Hour. The Jam with Merc 80. Coach Connection, Brother Malcolm. Brown Girl Hour with KC and T. And turn my headphones up with your boy, me. Southern Draw Angelino. You know, so I do want to give some love to a couple people. First off, I want to give some love to the people out in Ferguson, Missouri, who are still down there fighting for rights, you know, protesting, just doing that, man. I'm much love to y'all. Y'all are focused. Y'all know what you want to get out of this city, and some change got to happen, and y'all trying to make it happen. So much love to y'all. You know, we need more of that to happen. I hope it spreads. I really do. Since we are talking about Ferguson, you know, and this is, we're pretty much wrapping it up with the crew that was in here talking about this. I want to give a shout out to RockCity212 on Twitter. He actually came out to LA and hit us up, let us know he was out here. You know, we talked to brother on Twitter a couple of times, but he, you know, was really wanted to chop it up with us, you know, and talk some Ferguson. And we just, you know, couldn't happen. He was, you know, just timing and stuff like that. But, I appreciate him just reaching out and actually wanting to get up with us. And, you know, just appreciate people wanting to come out and feel like we real and, you know, we want to get to know us. So I appreciate that, Rock City. I hope we did answer some of your questions that you have regarding Ferguson. If we didn't or something you wanted to bring up, man, just hit us up. All right, y'all. So we're going to get into this episode of the Black Is Break. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy.
I'm How you doing?
Off the lot, sir. Come on. Say hi and let's go.
Are you here to support us? Yes, sir. You are? You've been marching all day long? We haven't seen you marching all day long. We haven't seen you.
Are you marching today with us, or you just gonna sit in the car?
Because we haven't seen you marching at all, Jesse. We ain't seeing you. When you gonna stop selling us out, Jesse? We don't want you here in St. Louis. When you gonna stop selling us out, Jesse? No, ain't no wait a minute, brother. This is real. We activists out here. We activists out here, brother. This is real. We don't want you here. You're not a leader. You're not a leader. We don't want you here, brother. Matter of fact, you're not even a brother. You can keep moving and get the brothers out of jail. That's what you could do. Break.
I seen with Killer Mike, he had an interview, and he was kind of like, I feel bad for this country, because he was like, y'all need to wake up and think that you think this, you know, military and police and Killer, you think that's just going to stop with black people? He was like, right. You really think they're just going to be like, okay, and then whoever's there, like, y'all next. Mm-hmm. Like, America is really going in some shit, so you need to wake up and realize that it's going to fucking happen to all of us.
Which is a solution. It's a visible solution. She's like, who's protecting my son? Oh, okay. I'll protect my son's legacy. I'll protect my neighbor's legacy. She's running for city council. I'm not saying it's going to change everything, but it's already happening right now. There was an Asian girl who was picked up outside of a club, right? And then somehow ended up in the middle of the street, out of the back of a police car, completely disfigured her face. How did that happen? So it's not like so far in the future that this is happening to Latinos or Asians. It is happening right now.
Even
the
white people, believe
right.
it or not. I mean,
there was a white man who was beaten to death. Yeah. He was mentally disabled, beaten to death by some crazy cops. Mm-hmm. Like, it is happening literally right now.
They fired the mayor. They got an apology. An investigation.
But they still killed him.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they still killed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They may have gotten more justice, but they still killed him. And that goes back to the issue of the police are out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are not, I mean, in that particular case, they were held accountable. But, you know, if they hadn't got that media, you know, support, it would have just been brushed under the carpet. Mm-hmm. Nobody would have ever known about it. And the police would have gotten away with murdering someone for what? Literally, for what?
Yeah.
So it's frustrating when, now I knew the point you were trying to make when people say it's coming. It's not coming. Mm-hmm. It is here right now. Mm-hmm. Our police force is completely out of control.
Yeah. Alicia, to your point, it's happening to white folks too, because I saw the little white boy, they caught the cop saying, we don't have time to deal with this. And so they just shot him in his house.
Yeah.
It was a domestic situation. The boy, he was schizophrenic or something. He was holding a screwdriver or something, and the parents couldn't get him to take it down. They called the police to come defuse the situation. They pinned the boy down. The father goes to get whatever it is he's holding. And then they say, we don't have time for this, and then just shoot him.
I mean, and I don't want to get too off topic here, but I do think there's a lot of evidence that things are bad across the board. You know, for especially... You know, where we should really unite if we're going to get really deep is the whole, like, 99% versus the 1%. I mean, that's really where it's starting to become obvious, like, you know, the poorer you are and the less power that you have. I mean, you really are at the mercy. And I mean, and unfortunately, this also does contribute to the divide, because a lot of white people don't understand the idea of being privileged when they are poor and mistreated all the time. So they're like, well, what privilege do I have? Right. Well, you do have privilege, believe it or not.
Right.
But things are still better for you than black people in your situation. But it is hard for them to see. And I think as time goes on, you know, when we all kind of can start to get over the fact that we are all like peasants, basically, and really realize that when it comes down to it, like, you know, as the cops get more power, like you said, there was another case, a dad called the cops on his son because his son had like stolen his car. You know, it was like a a dispute, a family dispute, and the cops come and the kid ends up dead, you know, and the dad's like, well, I never would have called the cops if I knew they're going to come kill my kid. And that was a white family, you know? So, I mean, there's just things like that, that people that are, that don't have power are also suffering. Don't get me wrong. So we, this is a problem that I think
right.
is going to grow. And another example is like a Newtown situation where you would think like, you know, 20 white kids being killed would be enough to make a change. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And that's a big wake up call for a lot for of real. People. For like real. If you had asked a lot of people, if 20 white kids get killed, which I know they weren't all white, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like if you had asked people, they would have said something will happen from that and nothing happened mm-hmm. from that. I mean, this is a new world if you think about it, where like, wow, like even people who usually do have rights and are treated in certain ways aren't anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's bad.
It's the power of like the lobbies and in action
yeah.
of Congress.
Yeah.
It was like no laws passed. Yeah. Even Obama went down there and spoke, people cried and like, we're going to make a change and nothing.
I think it's interesting though, because all the change that's happened, not all, a lot of change that has happened in this country has happened because it happened to black people. And mm-hmm. part of me thinks that the change that if there's a change with the police force, it'll be because of what mm-hmm. is happening to black people. Because this country is built on our backs. And I think it's going to be, it's just going to continue. And I think that as long as we're at the forefront, we can get people behind us. Like I think Latino people might join behind us if we keep dying in the street. Like, I feel like that's kind of the way history is played out, and it wouldn't surprise me if it played out that way again.
No, we're the ones who always, if America's going to change, we're going to be the ones. We're always the ones who are the first. That's why the first non-white male president is black. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be us who are usually the first minority to do something. That's just seems to be the case.
The first one to die in the American Revolution was Crispus Attucks,
right.
a black man mm-hmm. who was enslaved. Go figure. You know,
I had some other time. You mind if I? It's all Ferguson related. I just like to hear y'all thoughts about it. First off, this Don Lemon Talib Kweli interview.
I was about to go there.
Oh man.
Yeah. You, yeah. Casey, you played it for me.
What do you guys think about that?
I saw on Twitter all the, you know, the news of it first, and nicely, you know, Kim played it for me that next morning. Part of it for me was because I do a podcast and I listen to people who do interviews. Don Lemon has to be smarter and realize, all right, you don't need to always get your damn point across.
Like, as the interviewer.
Right. Like,
that was an L for yeah. a professional interview.
Yeah, once Talib kind of was like, you didn't let me talk, you got my name wrong. All right, you know what? I'm sorry, my bad.
Talib put him on blast about how disrespectful he was.
You didn't invite me.
I was
me.
Not ready for that. I was like, you didn't invite me. Roberta, Rachel did. And, yeah. And then you didn't greet me. And then when you did, came out, you were like, how you pronounce your name again? Like,
wow.
I appreciated it. I find that whenever I'm going to talk about black social media, I'm just going to call it black Twitter. I find that black Twitter does not like Don Lemon. I don't watch.
What?
I do not.
They do not like Don Lemon.
I've never watched CNN, and I don't know his body of work. But if I am to go based on what black Twitter says, I know like he's, you know, he's dangerous. Like, don't align yourself with Don Lemon.
He was in Chicago when I was there, and he didn't have a voice at all. But he came out. And then he just started doing his thing. Yeah, and so he got a promotion. Everybody was proud in the city, I remember. And he did that, and he was like, "I'm on the roll now. I'm just gonna get out there and just when I go to CNN, this is how I'm stating my claim." Because he did not have all of these opinions, I promise you, in Chicago. Nor was he into like I feel like I had a lot of I knew a lot of people. We did a lot of stuff in the community, nonprofit. He didn't have a. He wasn't a fixture there. Like, it wasn't like he had, you know, was working in the community. Tamron Hall, on the other hand, she totally was there. She was there on the ground doing things with the community and things like that. But Don, I don't know where he came from. So it's funny. He's like a joke to me. Because I'm like, you're coming out with some really strong opinions now that you have this platform of CNN, which, I mean, I guess that's what any of us would do, right? Mm-hmm. We would wait till we got that national platform and go rogue on them. Well, that's what I feel like he does sometimes.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't know his body of work, and the only thing I've seen of his, maybe one other thing besides this Talib Kweli interview, but I feel as if I were to take what, you know, Black Twitter doesn't like about him, it seems as if he often, his perspective on stories comes through a non-African-American gaze.
Oh, it does, yeah.
And he says that his gaze is objective. Now, it's okay to have an objective gaze and not have it be non-African-American and the dominant culture or white American, whatever. But he seems to say, have a non-African-American gaze that's and a gaze that's more aligned with white America, and then he claims it to be objective.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really grates on people. Yeah. But I don't know because I haven't watched.
Yeah, and Talib was he got caught in his feelings or whatever, and he just stayed there. It seemed like for a while. It seemed like toward the end, I think they kind of were able to get some things going and have a decent discussion. But it was just like, damn, wow, like really, y'all really this. Talib was feeling like, all right, I'm pissed the fuck off. Like, yeah, and Don Lemon was like,
Talib was mad when he came on, because I think when he didn't, yeah. when Don didn't, when he mad. Didn't
really
do that exchange right. before the cameras came on, Talib had a chip on his shoulder.
And he knew who he was talking to.
Exactly. All yeah. Right. Yeah. And he's familiar with Don Lemon's mm-hmm. body of work.
Yeah,
so
he was already prepared.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he knew that it was
potential for something. Okay. For him to be slighted.
He was ready to go in.
Yeah, yeah, on anything.
He was great.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, like, when it comes to someone like Don Lemon, like, I mean, I just think it's, like, a typical, like, you know, person who... I don't know what his deal is or anything, and but, like Tosh was saying, when you start to get into that subjective-objective language, like, to me, that's really insulting because... objectively, if you take everything out, to me, it's very clear which group you would be aligned with when it comes to an injustice or a justice perspective. So, I mean, I don't see how you can objectively not see that Black people have been mistreated and are often. So, it's insulting.
And speaking of insulting, I remember going back to the Trayvon Martin case. I remember he was making comments and like justifications for
really
stereotypes of like black males with their pants down.
Yeah.
He like lived in Harlem, but people in Harlem were throwing trash in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, as if that's to justify like white racism and, you know, resentment of black people. And from a black man, from his own perspective,
exactly.
That, you know, made us resent him, which is why I go hard for him on Twitter.
Yeah. Totally, totally.
I'm going to start following you on Twitter.
And it's like, you know, I think that what bothers me sometimes is that there are statements that are factual, like what Tosh was saying. Yes, you can behave a certain way with the police and you can conduct yourself in certain ways that are beneficial to your survival. And I'm not in any way or any means ever arguing for anyone to not conduct themselves in that way. Like, if I had a son, I would absolutely advise him to keep his hands on the steering wheel at all times and to only be nothing but deferential and respectful to police at any time, because any interaction can become a life and death one, unfortunately. And so I think that that's all valid advice. But I think that when I start to hear people take what is valid advice and act like anything deviating from that behavior, then all of a sudden now you are putting yourself in a situation where you're almost like inviting violence or police, you know, and that's when it takes the turn that I have the problem with, because now it's like, well, yes, I get that this is a method of survival, but that doesn't make it right that that's what it takes to survive that situation. And so it's ridiculous that in the chance that I don't adhere to these, which are not legal standards. These are just standards that we've created or that the police have created. And if I don't adhere to them, I don't deserve to die. And I think that we keep forcing, like, as almost though, but yeah, but this is real. This is what it takes to live, you know? Like, well, yeah, but I have a problem with that. And that's not what I'm not okay with that.
And it's almost like, the social norms of, like, the Jim Crow South, where you have to, like, walk
exactly,
in the sidewalk.
Exactly, exactly.
Like, eye contact.
It's not
yes,
right.
Yes, sir, no, ma'am, or, you know, it just... Yeah. Going a little further than
exactly.
just existing,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like maintaining that system of, you know,
yeah,
I guess black inferiority.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know? That's what they're saying. Just stay in your position, stay in your lane, and you'll be okay. Well, that's not true, number one. But right. It's also like, no. That's not the way it works.
You saw that article that came out with the cop, I guess, wrote the article, and he was like, yeah, basically, he's just like, you know, don't approach me, exactly. Don't talk smart. If you want to survive, mm-hmm. then don't do these things. And it's like, really?
Yeah, and the comments, there's people that agreed, that were like, yeah, this is real. Yes, it is real. That's the problem. I mean, that's why we're upset. Right. This is real.
Right.
Hello. Oh, the other person we got to talk about that popped off yesterday is one of our so-called leaders, who I think has now officially cannot hold that title anymore, Jesse Jackson.
Oh.
He went down there to speak, and I guess at some point in his speech asked for a donation for his church.
Oh, was it for the church?
For his church.
Okay.
It was actually a donation. It wasn't a donation to give to Ferguson. It was a donation for something related to him.
And the people went off.
Well, the people went
on him.
Off. And they showed a video of him. Yeah, they showed a video of him in the.
You ain't my
bigger
brother. You ain't even a brother.
Right.
Yeah. Brothers went off when he was in, I guess, leaving McDonald's. That's when he was leaving McDonald's. Yeah. He's in the car. Dude is just kind of like, hey, and basically like, what you gonna do that? Yeah, he was basically like, you need to just get the hell out. Why don't you just leave? Oh, you was walking? Yeah. Oh, I was walking like that. Yeah, nobody saw you. We didn't see you walking it all day.
All weekend, all day.
Right. I was like, wow. I mean, even Al Sharpton come in and was kind of like, yeah, I'm the one. I'm the nigga. You know, you call me no more. Jesse Jackson, you old. Nobody calling you anymore. I'm the one who's getting called now. You need to just take a seat. That title of being that black guy who everybody calls, it's over. Barack Obama got my number. Sit down.
He's been ineffectual for about a decade.
It was right after the baby.
Yeah, you know, that was it. When it came out that he had an illegitimate child stashed over here in Baldwin Hills, it was a wrap for Jesse Jackson. And then he went on, what was it, the BET Awards after that, talking about for shizzle my nizzle. Yeah. He shut his own coffin.
Then he got caught dogging Obama, remember?
Oh, yeah.
On camera.
Yeah.
That was bad, too.
He might be on drugs.
Was on hand gesture.
Oh, yeah, his son.
Yeah, his son in that whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs to lay low.
He's so much better than he used to be,
though. Yeah, he is. Alice turned the page. You gotta hear him.
His show is good on MSNBC, really. I mean, at least he deals with a lot of stuff. Like,
he's just too loud and he cannot read the little screen.
Yeah. He does yell a lot in the show. I do agree with that.
He probably, like, mispronounced Beijing.
Yeah.
Like, what do you call it?
He does have a
it wasn't Beijing.
Or
I was like, what?
Oh, man.
It's like a YouTube clip. Of all his mistakes on the teleprompter.
Uh-huh.
It's like normal words.
I'm not thinking about that.
Like, in like life.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, he took heat for coming out. I mean, it was like, of course, you know, the family paid for him to come out. But, you know, I saw the joint with Gilbert Arenas, was basically called him a coon and a thought.
That word needs to die.
Yeah. That acronym. Gilbert Arenas, the guy who was shooting his people in the...
Yes, the ball player who got caught with weapons. Yeah, he called him a... What he called him? He was like Al Coon Sharpton or something. And he was
talking about Al?
Yeah, he called him a coon and on Instagram, whatever. And then called him a thought. I was like, okay.
Who is right. Okay. Reverend Sharpton?
I know.
Yeah. You know Sharpton took that heat for supposedly being a snitch.
FBI.
Yeah, with the FBI.
Against the mob.
Against the mob. Yeah. And you know how black people feel about snitches.
But he said he put it in his book, though. And he said that he was, I guess, a mob tried to kill him. And because of that, he...
felt forced.
He told them. It was in his book. He wrote, like, 30 years ago.
Mm.
So it's not like he lied about it.
Right.
You know? And the media was trying to, like, spin it as if he was a little more than, you know, that snitch.
Involved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they say Jesse's involved too. You know.
Oh, okay.
Jesse, he's involved in a lot.
Right.
He was King's assassination. You know,
I heard
the picture with the ties up there.
Yeah.
And after the when he was after he was assassinated, Jesse like didn't change his shirt.
Oh, okay.
And Andrew Young said that after he was killed that Jesse put his hands in his blood and like wiped it in his shirt, which is really weird. Like his exact word, Andrew Young said that was really weird. His exact words. It was like that's really weird. Like, get someone's blood.
and then put it on yourself.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, that was a turning point when Jesse sort of became the
new voice.
De facto, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he was there without his title.
It's just sad that he's not more influential and meaningful given his history and the people that he's been involved with. And
but that's what they're saying. The point is that he did that. That was contrived, mm-hmm. right? Like, that was all a part of it. And some people could even go as far as saying he knew he was he had more information in terms of King's assassination than he let on because of that. Mm-hmm. So it gets deep when it comes to Jesse. Yes. If you think about it, I mean, what really does he do? I mean, even since then, like, a leader, like, I don't know that I would, I can't in the last 30 years think of examples where we were like, I'm like, oh yes, Jesse was involved in that. He had a huge hand in.
Well, the hostage situation, Clinton was president. I remember the riots. I was a kid, but I remember Jesse Jackson came there with his little candles and whatnot.
In 92?
LA riots. I know he was here. Okay. I don't know what he did, but he was here.
He's like
kind of. Before the president came.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is another thing that we, I guess, can discuss too. I mean, we don't have any black leadership anymore and seemingly don't have anybody that's going to emerge unless for some reason upon Obama's being done with this term, he becomes that person. Yeah. I think that platform will exist for him whether or not he takes it because that man done gone from black hair to gray hair to damn near all salt and pepper. Now he might just be like, I'm laying burdens down. I can't help nobody.
But he's still talking.
Yeah.
He's been
very
consistent throughout his tenure.
It's just within our community is very divided between Christianity and then you start talking about black Muslims and it's a whole another conversation. So you got people who don't even listen to Farrakhan because they're so deeply entrenched in their Christianity. And he says some things that I think, folks should listen to.
Oh, he's a brilliant man. Mm-hmm. He is a brilliant man. He has always had a heart for black people and the advancement of black people. And he's always been very, very honest about all the things that we've talked about, like just how, the business of keeping us down, literally the money making business of keeping us down. And people don't give Farrakhan the respect because he's Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
It makes no sense. I mean, look, and by the way, he's been consistent, but he's also softened a lot over the years.
Yeah.
He has softened greatly over the years. And I think also a lot of the things, because I can hear Leisha grunting. a lot of the things that he said in the past that he has taken ownership for, but people aren't listening. They're not listening to the fact that he has taken ownership for him being aggressive or overly aggressive at certain times of his life, and he has told you why. He didn't necessarily apologize for it. He took ownership for it and explained why he felt that way and why he said and did what he did. Which I respect.
They just don't care. They might listen. They just don't care. Because he has taken them back and apologized. Even his
not for all of
anti-Semitic comments.
Right,
some of his homophobic comments.
Right.
He definitely came back. But people just don't really care. And they hold him accountable for what he said 30 years ago as opposed to what he said today. The same with Jesse Jackson, the little Hometown comment he made about the Jews in 1982. He apologized about that too.
That was funny. I still remember that SNL skit on Hometown. Like, damn.
But I'm going to do the high five. I'm Team Farrakhan. I'm not a Muslim, a black Muslim, but
I am Christian.
I'm riding with Farrakhan before Sharpton or Jesse.
Oh, no. If I had to choose, he seems to be the one at least is really on it. At least he's trying to make a change. I mean, Jesse, this was it. I was really shocked that it was like, did you really ask for a donation to something outside of money staying in this city? Like,
I'm sure someone's gonna say
you got some balls.
And he does seem a little.
He's old.
Yeah, when he speaks, it's a little labored. I would say. I'm just saying. I was like,
Farrakhan's old. Yeah. Like they're old.
Yeah,
like 80 something.
Yeah,
yeah. Farrakhan's still
mine though.
Farrakhan to have a following.
He has
still
a physical ailment. Yeah. I think that's why he's not as out as much because he had physical ailments. He's old.
Oh, Jesse's done. Yeah, with
Jesse
this act, he's
a face though because I saw him at Michael Jackson's funeral, And I was like, I don't know why I said side story. I said, run, Jesse, run. And literally every single time I see him, he gives me a glare look. Like it was like 4 years ago, he would like punch me in the face. Like I'm not even joking. I could give me one of these. I thought it was funny. I was like, run, Jesse.
He got to deal shit with his son and oh no, he's done. This was it. I was like, wow, you were. This was your nail in the coffin. You don't. It ain't be no point showing up nowhere else when the next shooting, whatever happens, just stay home with your illegitimate child and all that. Just work on that. Al Sharpton got the lane. Al Sharpton, once he lost weight, he just took the hell off. Became that dude, so.
He seemed to lose that perm, though. Get a fade or something.
He got a nice little girlfriend and everything. I saw that.
Oh, yeah. He trying to...
Right, people are forgiving. They forgave him for peacing out on his wife and getting with the young woman. And, you know, mm-hmm. he's really kind of chummied up with the younger crowd. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Jesse did that. I think Al was really smart in that he got very close and comfortable and familiar with the younger crowd. And that just propelled him.
Because Al was sort of old, and when I've been watching, like, VH1 had a 4-part series on hip-hop or something
that. Yeah.
And you got Al in there talking like...
Back in the day.
Yeah, but I'm like, Al, we're not the same age. Like, no, that's my memory, Al. I'm 30-something. You can't... That's not the same memory. But Al is relating to it.
I will tell you he's 52. Because I remember... I saw him, like... Remember when he ran for president?
Yeah.
He said he was 50. And I don't know, I'm not very good at math.
And now he's 52?
No, I just know that he still thinks he's like 50-something.
Yeah,
I don't know, just we need to see his birth certificate. Because I think he says he's younger than King, younger than Jesse Jackson.
He is, definitely.
Yeah, I believe
he says like much.
Maybe not as much, but he definitely is younger.
Yeah, I agree.
I know he like lived with James Brown for a while, and he has like a weird, crazy
history. That's why he has his perm.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, my opinion, the thing is that when in watching his show, regardless of his reputation and kind of what he's done and everything, he does speak. There is a voice that he represents that is not on TV that often. Like, true. He will say things as the host of his MSNBC show that need to be said that are accurate and that are factual. And I do appreciate that voice, regardless of what impact that it has, or, you know, that black people, we may not rally behind him per se, but I do appreciate him on TV saying those things. I personally, you know, 'cause I do agree with a lot of the stances that he takes on his show. So
his voice is needed, but he does come off as an opportunist.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, even though he says things that I agree with, I'm afraid to get behind him because I feel like he'll be on the money train.
Oh, he's
I think most people aren't behind him in that sense, you know,
they know he is. Yeah. They know he is. It's just, it's automatic now because you know, the next time a cop shoots a black person, which will probably be in a month, the way they do it, he will be there. You just know. As soon as it happens, you're like, all right, probably within the next 12 hours.
Him, you know, yeah. Family's actually calling them, you know?
Yeah. And I'm, yeah, that will...
just go down.
No, he'll go down and for all that paper. All right, y'all. We enjoyed this. This has been a great Ferguson discussion. Covered a lot of stuff. Thank y'all for tuning in to the Black Is Break. Check us out at blackisonline.com, on Twitter at Black Is Online, Facebook Black Is Magazine. Take it easy.